Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Amen. Morning, Hope Rock Church. Wow, I think I've got to get used to having people in the room again. That hasn't happened, just so you know, ever since there was no one in the room. But now that there's people, apparently the microphones don't like it. Anyway, it's good to be here with you. Thank you for coming out today. I also want to extend a warm welcome to everyone streaming. This is all new to us now, having to focus on the cameras and focus on you. Gosh, it feels like quite a complicated meeting, but we're just trusting God for grace and for our time together this morning. For those of you that are watching the live stream, you might not know this, but we do have, for the first time, some of our church family here with us this morning. And so that's a great privilege. Let's give the Lord a hand. Just a bit of background, for those of the ones watching the stream in particular, and for those that are perhaps new to Hope Rock Church, we have been trusting God for many years. In fact, when I say we, I mean you as this local church, Jeremy and Ashley in particular, have been trusting God for a venue to call our own. You know, and so this is a testimony to God's faithfulness. Today's a day of celebration. No matter what's going on in the world, today we get to celebrate because it's the first time, not only since Corona, that we can meet in person, but it's the first time that we as a local church can gather in this venue in person. Now, granted, I've got to tell you in all honesty, this is not the first meeting I had imagined for this church. I must be honest, I had a very different picture in my mind when I thought about our first meeting. First of all of you that are here today are just representative of some of our local body. It's not everybody, right? In addition, you guys are seated in what I can only describe as probably the most funkiest seating plan I've ever seen in my life. Big ups, though, to Mark Batten and Charlie for doing this. And there's a reason why we're seated like this, right? We're trying to maintain social distancing. And of course, probably the most unnerving of all is everybody in the room has got masks on. And so now, I don't know whether you're smiling, I don't know whether you're scowling, and I definitely don't know whether you're pointing your tongue at me. So just do me a favor. If you can affirm with what God is saying to your heart this morning, just say amen louder than you would normally say so that I can hear you. Amen. Amen. What we do know is that this setup is far from ideal. This is not the perfect setup for our church, but I've got to say to you that we want you as a community to know that we want you to feel comfortable and we want you to feel safe. But I do believe the responsibility is on the church for us to continue to trust and pray that this whole corona situation, the impact that it's had on the world, our country, the economy, and in particular, each and every one of you, will come to an end. We have to pray and we have to trust God that that's going to happen. Why? Because we have to trust God that sometime in the not too distant future, we will be able to gather here in this place with all of our family, not just some of you, but with everyone. Amen? Amen? Great. So this morning, we're going to jump right back into the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 20. So let's bow our heads and we can pray real quick. Father, we just gather this morning grateful that we are able to start meeting again, even though it looks different to what we, or at least what I had imagined. We just thank you for the privilege. We thank you for this space, for this venue, for this testimony of your faithfulness. And I just pray, Father, that you would be with us this morning. Be with every single person watching this live stream from wherever they are. Touch our hearts, move our spirits, and just activate in us a sense of faith and of your kingdom this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, I like to just set up a little bit of context for those that missed it or don't know. We are in the book of Acts. We're busy with a series. So there are 28 books in the book of Acts. We've got eight chapters left after this particular chapter. There is a map up on the screen just to show you where we'll be dealing with this morning. But just by way of reminder, last week Sunday, we found ourselves in the mighty city of Ephesus, you know, the capital of the Roman province of Asia. Paul had spent 2 years, give or take, preaching the gospel in the hall of Tyrannus. He was doing amazing things for the king and his kingdom. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons, so much so that any cloth that touched Paul's skin could be used to heal other people. There were signs and wonders and the miraculous going on. So much so that 7 sons of Sceva decided that it would be a great chance for them to pretend they had the same authority as Paul did. What we came to find is that they had A, no relationship with Jesus, and B, no authority. And so we learned that it, for us as a church, it's important that we learn to become popular in heaven and famous in hell. This morning, what we'll find is that at the end of chapter 18 of Acts, there's a little bit of a riot that happens. I'm not going to go into all the details, but plain and simple, people that were creating little idols of the goddess Artemis are a bit angry because now those idols have been taken away because people aren't buying them anymore. Why? Because the gospel is being preached. So they're a little bit freaked out because the economy is going to go down and they're going to lose their income. The riot doesn't really turn out to be anything of major importance, but what does happen is Paul leaves the city of Ephesus quite abruptly. And he goes on a little bit of a journey. He travels to the region of Macedonia. You'll remember Macedonia is the region that houses the city of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. Those three cities were cities that Paul himself visited, planted church, some of them in as little as 3 weeks. He then leaves Macedonia, goes all the way through to Greece, and spends a couple of days here or there in Athens, and he moves on to Corinth, where he spends 3 months, writes the letter to the Romans. The real reason that Paul went on this little journey of his, this little detour, before we even get into what we're going to read in Acts chapter 20, is Paul wanted to go and encourage the churches that he had a hand in planting. He wanted to breathe life into them, to remind them of what they were doing. These were churches that were built in the fire of persecution. It wasn't an easy time for anyone to be a Christian in those days. Perhaps it's not an easy time for us today either. But this morning, we find ourselves with Paul in the city of Miletus. It's about, I don't know how many miles, but just across the way from the city of Ephesus. And Paul does something interesting. He goes and he calls for the elders of the church at Ephesus, the overseers, the leaders of that church to come to him. Now remember, we had just spoken about the church in Ephesus. He's calling the church back to him because he's got a message to tell the elders and the leaders of that church. And the message is quite simple, church. He wants to tell them and remind them of what it means to be a New Testament church. It's some important stuff that he deals with them in this particular passage of scripture that we'll read this morning. But I felt as I was praying this week that the Lord wants to remind us of what it means for us to be a New Testament church in the midst of a pandemic. I think that's what God is trying to remind us, that we have a mandate and a mission. Nothing has changed, church. Situations, circumstances might have changed. And I know that in this time, it's so easy for us to get sucked into the whole corona situation. It's so easy for us to just lose sight and perhaps even sometimes lose focus of who we truly are. And so this morning, as we unpack scripture, God is saying to us, church, I want you to remember what it means to be a New Testament church, even in the midst of a pandemic. So let's read together. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 20. We're going to read from verse 18. It says this, and when they came to him, speaking of the elders of the church of Ephesus, they had arrived, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you, and the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. One thing we can see, and it jumps out at you, is that this particular ministry was a ministry that happened amidst tears and trials. It wasn't an easy ministry. It wasn't plain sailing for Paul. But what we get from this passage of scripture is our first point, and I've got five. I believe that being a New Testament church in the midst of a global pandemic, it's important for us to remember that people matter. Relationships matter. I know it's easy for us in this time where we've been forced apart to lose sight of that fact. In fact, even though we're here together this morning, we're still separate, right? Everyone's distanced. And so in this time, even though we are here, we still feel like we're apart. And I know why we're doing it. I'm not arguing the reasons and the rhymes behind it. I'm not disputing that there's a logical aspect to this. That's not my intention this morning. But what I do want us to know is that even though we are separate from each other in this time, I believe that the church is being called to find creative ways not to forget that people matter. We can hold ourselves up in our houses and forget that people even exist. That's not the mandate of the church. It has never been. Now, I'm not saying that you should leave every day, but let's think of creative ways where we can still reach out to our community. Paul gives us two interesting insights from this passage that we've just read about what is important for us to behave like in this time. You see, when Paul is out there, he says to the elders of the church, "When I was with you, I lived among you." What that speaks to, church, is a level of authenticity. You see, when we are out there living with people day to day, shoulder to shoulder, It's very hard for us to pretend to be something that we aren't. I don't know if you've realized this, and perhaps this lockdown or shelter in place has exacerbated this fact, but living with people sometimes is hard, right? They get to see you, warts and all. You can't hide things very easily. Paul's saying, when I was with you, I behaved like I would behave with the people I live with. You saw me as I was. I believe for us to be creatively intentional in our relationships in this time, we need to be an authentic church. My fear is that after Corona, we'll take off these physical masks, but what we'll find is that we've had masks on all this time. You see, the reality is we wear masks every day. Masks that sometimes puff us up. Masks that sometimes make people believe that we are someone other than we are. I think, church, in this time, we've got to take off all the masks. Not these physical ones. Don't do that. I'll get into trouble. But let's take off all the other masks. When we speak to people in our community, in this church, brothers and sisters in Christ, and those out there on the streets, let's be the people that God has called us to be, who we are, without any airs and graces. I think if we're going to touch the world, that's how we touch them. The other thing that Paul does when he lives with people, works with people, notice Paul doesn't go and get a villa on the Aegean Sea. He doesn't rent a villa and do mission from a distance. Paul gets there in the trenches with the people day by day so that he can empathize with them. Amen. Amen. We're living in a season, church, where I believe empathy is key. Tolerance is key. Tolerance of different views, different viewpoints, even within the church. There's a divergent sort of approach to the way we should handle things. And everyone's got their own opinions. What we're called to do is to empathize where people are at. Understand them. Understand their perspective. It might not be your perspective, but understand them and love on them. Not just in the church, but out there as well. And what Paul does throughout all this time of preaching the gospel is he does it amidst difficulty. He doesn't do it when there is no difficulty. He says, with many tears and trials and persecutions, I lived with you. I spent time with you. I didn't run away from it. Now is the time, my friends. Now is the time for the church to step outside of our comfort zones, to go into those uncomfortable places that we might not feel comfortable in, because it's in those places, my friends, that we will reach a city that needs to be reached. He goes on in verse 20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If point number one in being a New Testament church in a global pandemic is to remember that people matter, point number two is that preaching matters. Paul went out there and he preached the gospel. The message here that Paul is speaking to is an evangelistic message. It's a message of repentance. Remember that Greek word, metanoia, to turn away from your sins 180 degrees. He's saying we've got to go into the world and remind them that they are lost and broken, but there is a Savior who loved them so much that he died on the cross for them. That's the message that we carry in us. It's called the gospel. We in this time are bringing a hope to a people that have no hope, but it comes through preaching the word. He uses some interesting words here. Paul says, notice, I did not shrink back. Another way for saying this is I did not hesitate to preach to you the good news, even though preaching the good news would be in the face of opposition, even though preaching good news will be uncomfortable, even though it will take me to places I might not want to go. I did not shrink back. I did not hesitate. What creative ways can we find today in this world that we're living in to preach the gospel? And to not let it, you know, affect us, the situation, the circumstances, don't, shouldn't, and mustn't ever affect us. We must be a church that does not shrink back in this time. We must not hesitate, my friends. We must go forward in boldness. We might say that there are many reasons, Marco, many reasons today that might allow us to believe that this pandemic gives us an opportunity to hesitate or shrink back. But again, I believe now is the time where our preaching will be heard louder than ever before. Not because we're preaching a message of judgment or condemnation, but a message of hope. He goes on in verse 22, and now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I've received from the Lord, from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. People matter. Preaching matters. The third point in being a New Testament church in the midst of a global pandemic is taking risks matter. I want to qualify that a little bit because, again, I can't see your faces, but I'm sure some of you are unhappy with that statement. Taking risks for the kingdom matters. Think about this. Paul says to his friends, the elders of the church, that he's headed for Jerusalem. I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about somebody else that was headed to Jerusalem, who had set their face for Jerusalem. Do you remember who that was? Jesus, that's right. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem. What is he setting his face towards? He's setting his face towards suffering, humiliation, and death. Why? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Just so that you know, you and I were the joy set before Jesus that led him to Jerusalem. Paul is saying the same thing to the Ephesian church. He's saying, even though I think I'm going to get to Rome one day, there's a chance that when I go to Jerusalem, they might kill me. Because let's be honest, Jerusalem had a little bit of a track record of killing Christians. In fact, Paul, before he was Paul and was still Saul and an unbeliever, he had a hand in one of those deaths. Stephen, the martyr, right? So Paul's saying, I'm completely aware that going to Jerusalem might end in my death. And even though the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit himself told Paul that imprisonment and affliction awaits you in Jerusalem, Paul still went. Why? I believe Paul went because Paul understood that his life on this earth only counted if it counted for Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Paul believed that his life on this earth would only count if it counted for Jesus. I wonder, church, if we were going to go on a mission trip. This is a hypothetical example. But if we were going to go on a mission trip somewhere, and just before that mission trip happened, somebody phoned us and said, listen, I want to tell you, Hope Rock Church, that when you come here, the good news I've got for you is you can expect affliction and you can expect imprisonment, but we're welcoming you here. I wonder how many of us would go. Let's be honest. I can tell you for myself, I probably would say, that sounds like an amazing time. Enjoy it. I'll give it a miss this time. But the real question, church, is this. If Jesus shows up in this room, if the Holy Spirit comes to me and says to me, Marco, I'm calling you to go to that place and understand this, that imprisonment and affliction awaits you, would I still say no? My hope this morning, church, is that I wouldn't say no. My hope is that I would go. And I think, friends, if we're honest with ourselves, what I find, generally speaking, this is a gross exaggeration, so please forgive me, is that the church, by and large, to a large extent, has lost the kind of faith that I see in Scripture, the risky faith. Instead, what we've done is we've replaced that type of faith with a safe faith, a safe Christianity, one that we've learned from an approach that's been spent with a lifetime living in the world. It's an approach where we take less risks for the King and his kingdom. It's an approach where we, as we would in our normal lives, evaluate mission or church or kingdom based on a predetermined set of criteria. Are there inherent risks to this? Are there objective risks to this? And then we decide if we will commit. What we do is we apply risk and the calculation of that risk to our faith instead of applying our faith to the risks ahead of us. But the challenge, again, is that I don't see it anywhere in Scripture, and I'll position that for you. What I don't see in Scripture is this safe faith. What I do see in Scripture is a risky faith. It was a risky faith that led Abraham to leave everything that he ever knew in the hope of a promise. It was a risky faith that led Noah to build an ark when there hadn't even been rain. It was risky faith that led David, a young boy, to a field to face a giant with a sling and five stones. It was a risky faith that led Gideon to defeat 135,000 Midianites with 300 people. It was a risky faith that led Stephen to his death, and it was a risky faith that led Jesus to the cross. We are called to a risky faith. We are not called to a safe harbor, church. We are called to live our lives on the ragged edge for Jesus all the time, preaching the gospel, teaching people, in spite of the fact that it may even cost some of us our lives. Paul was ready to die for his faith. Are we? Verse 25. Thank you, Titus. I'll take that. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Paul knew that there was a very slim chance that these Ephesian leaders would ever see him again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all,
for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Taking risks matters. But so does preaching everything in the Bible. Point number four, teaching it all matters. This type of proclamation that Paul is speaking to is different to the repentance proclamation that he spoke to a bit earlier. That was about bringing people that were unbelievers to saving faith. What he's saying is that there is another step. Consider that step one. Another way of putting this is when we first preach, our aim is to get people that aren't saved to know Jesus. But since we know that the Great Commission doesn't say go into the world and make converts of all nations, it says make disciples of all nations, what Paul is saying is there's an additional step to the walk that we have to take. Our job is to disciple people, to walk alongside them, to take them from a position of being babes in the faith to maturity in Christ. It refers to Paul preaching the whole total message of his theology, his full understanding of God. And he could say with confidence that because I have done this, your blood is not going to be on my hands. I've preached to you everything. Not just the easy stuff, not just the attractive stuff, not just the stuff that makes you feel good about yourself, but everything from Genesis to Revelations, although they didn't exist when he wrote this particular epistle, I've preached to you the hard things, the things that challenge us to the core of who we are. And I want to say to you, church, that all of us run the risk, every single one of us, myself included, run the risk of leaning into something in a message that's more palatable for people to hear. Why? Because we don't want to get people upset. Perhaps it's because maybe we even want to attract people into our church, and so we avoid talking about certain things. I don't see that in Scripture, and that's an incomplete picture of the kingdom. Instead, we're called to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, Charlie. Don't get me wrong, church. I'm not saying that we exist to offend people for the sake of offending them or to be controversial because we want to be controversial. But we are called to rightly divide the word of truth. Paul would say this to his spiritual son in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Church, do you know that one day we will stand before God? And yes, we will have entered into heaven because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, but God will ask us what we did with what he had given us. It's a matter of inheritance, not of salvation. Are we going to be approved in all the things we could have done for the king and his kingdom? It's not a works theology. This is about saying we've been given and entrusted to us something of great value. Let's do something amazing with it. He goes on to say this, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. Our job is to divide this truth equally. The good, the hard, the challenging, and the easy. And we don't have to be ashamed of it. Paul would say to us in Romans 1, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. We don't have to be ashamed of speaking for God. If it's in Scripture, we speak it. But if we don't, I want to tell you, church, that we run the risk of having people's blood on our hands. And so let's talk about it all. But let's do it in love. And let's do it in humility. And let's do it with all of the grace that we can possibly apply to anything, understanding that all of us are under the mighty hand of God. Verse 28, and I'm going to close now with this next point. He says this, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw your disciples away after them. Point number five, in what it means to be a New Testament church in the midst of a pandemic, means we always remain vigilant. We can so often think, friends, that we are immune from being led astray. When we read this text, we think, well, I'm never going to become a heretic. I'm never going to go that distance. I'm never going to forget about who Jesus is. I'm not going to let somebody convince me otherwise. Well, here's an interesting thought for you if you think that way today. This particular church that this letter was addressed to, or what Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders, was a powerful church. It would remain powerful in that region for years to come. But not 30 years later, Jesus would write to this church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, to the church in Ephesus, I have this against you, that you have lost your first love. 30 years, my friends, to lose the love that we once had for Jesus. Is it possible? You better believe it. If we are not vigilant, we can run into those issues where we will lose our first love, where all of a sudden the love that we have for Christ gets replaced with love for something else. Now, in the context here, yes, Paul's speaking to leaders saying there are going to be people that will come in here and disrupt things. But I want to tell you, each and every one of us, our hearts this morning should be turned towards Jesus and we should be holding on to him. Paul tells us if we want to stay close to God, he gives us two really quick insights here. He says the first thing that you need to do is protect or pay attention to yourself. Now you might think, well, I don't lead anyone. If you're a parent, you're leading someone. If you're a mom or dad, there are people that you are leading. And no matter who you are, you're leading someone in some context. I've said this before. Often we want to lead them, and we forget about leading ourselves. Paul says, pay attention to yourselves. Church, the enemy in this time is running rampant in the church. People are locked away in their houses, doing things that perhaps they should not be doing, looking at things that perhaps they should be not be looking at. I want to tell you this morning, church, the enemy's out there. If we don't pay attention to our own hearts, to our own spiritual walk with the King in his kingdom, we will run into trouble. And so paying attention to ourselves means we spend time in God's word ourselves. It means we spend time praying to God ourselves. It means we have a strong relationship with Jesus. But it also means, practically speaking, if you need time off, take time off. Look after yourself. Be practical in this time. And it's only then, once we've looked after ourselves, that Paul says, shepherd the flock. Whoever that is, whether it's your children, whether it's your coworkers, or whether it's someone in this church, once you've looked after yourself, then go and shepherd the flock. That's how we remain vigilant. Just this morning, I watched a video and it really disturbed me. It was a video of a child that committed suicide last week in the midst of this pandemic. Why would he do that? Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, friends. A 12-year-old boy who had no past issues with depression would commit suicide by hanging himself in his room in this pandemic. Friends, if you think the enemy is not active right now, you are mistaken. Our job is to protect those that God's given us to protect, but it starts with protecting ourselves. And so in this time where there are all different views floating around, where everyone's got an opinion on something, just seek God's face. That's my best advice that I can give you. Take your request to God, and he will answer you. And the God of peace will guard your heart. That's the promise that we have. Wendy and Chris, you did that in your devotional. With prayer and supplication, we take our requests to God, and he gives us peace. But please look after yourselves, friends. I'm closing now, and I want to say this. I acknowledge that all of us right now have got limited bandwidth. I think we all are struggling to think of anything else beyond the current situation that we're facing. We're living in a world that seems to be falling apart. Add to that the fact that we live in a world that's consumed by fear, a world that's consumed by anxiety. My intention is not to minimize that in any one of your lives. Each of us have got our own reality to walk. My job is not to tell you that you're being irrational or you tell me I'm being irrational. What I am saying to you is that I'd like to confront us this morning with a parting thought. Amidst all of this craziness that's going on around us, can I confront us with the reminder that we are first and foremost, before anything else, called to be the church. That's what we're called to be. And that mandate has not, nor will ever change. So whilst the storm is raging around us, perhaps what we do to get through this time is not to look around us. And believe it, we are all in the storm together. We might be in different boats, but we're in the storm. And so instead of looking at the circumstances, instead of looking at the raging wind and the waves, what we need to do is look up, look forward, and remember where God is leading us to. It's countercultural to behave like that, friends. It's not normal. But that's cool. You know why? The church is called to be countercultural. We're called to be set apart and different from the world. And I believe truly that when we live in that place where we've looked beyond the static, the negativity, and all the reasons why we should wake up every morning fearful for the next minute or the next hour, I think what we'll find is that we'll see in front of us what was always there. Each other, this church, but mainly Jesus himself. And so in this time, friends, let us remember that to be a New Testament church in the midst of a corona pandemic or a global pandemic, however you want to cut it, people matter. Preaching matters. Taking risks for the King and his kingdom matters. Teaching it all matters, even the tough conversations. and being vigilant and protecting those that are vulnerable to us will come, yes, but first it starts with protecting ourselves. And then let's protect those around us. I'm going to close in prayer. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the stream. And what a great privilege again to have each and every one of you here with us. We're going to close with one last song and then a prayer. And then you guys can have an awesome Sunday. Amen. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the encouragement that you give us every day to remind us that we exist for far greater things, Lord. I pray, Lord, that even in my own heart this morning, you would start to stir in me a risky faith, a faith that would go beyond the norm, that would do things that I would not normally do for your sake, Lord. I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know what that means for everyone in this room, but I pray that it would be creative and it would be different. I pray that we as the church would be a lampstand that reaches the city, that reaches people where they're at and reminds them that there is a hope that can never be taken away. I pray for anyone in this room this morning who doesn't know you yet, Jesus, that they would seek you and that they would find you when they seek you, Lord, be it through our ministry or somebody else's. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them so that they can understand this peace that we hold on to as believers. And I pray for all of us in this fearful time that you'll give us strength, courage, and wisdom, Lord. And most of all, that you'll fill us with grace and love for our fellow man. Protect this world, look after our leaders, Lord, and bless this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.